Again, we are glad that we have the privilege of being here, and I'd like you to take your Bibles and come with me to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 19, and then we're going to read down to verse 30. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what God has done and how Harbor Light Baptist Church came to be, and what God has done. But right off the get-go, before we start anything, I want this clear. Everything that I say tonight about the church is because of God. Amen. What we watch taking place daily is just beyond explanation. How many of you know who Jack Treiber is? You know who Jack Treiber is? Well, Jack Treiber has a song leader. Brother Martinez, I love him. I love him, you know. Come on, church! And I said to my wife, we need a song leader. And I'd like a song leader like Brother Martinez. That's a big order. My son-in-law leads the singing for me, and I love him, and he's a good man. And God has answered so many prayers. Last Sunday, a Filipino family showed up in our church. And I got to talk to them a little bit, but I didn't get a lot of details. So Carrie called us today on the way home from the morning service, and she said to me, Dad, I got something to tell you. It's exciting. And I said, all right, like, lay it on me. And she said, remember that Filipino family? I said, yeah. She said, the husband and the son are coming over from Dubai, and they've bought a house in Sault Ste. Marie. And I said, sweet. And she said, Dad, just take a guess. He's in the music ministry. Yes! So, everything that happens is God. Amen. I'm not going to go deep, and I don't think I'll go long, but I want to go strong. I want you to understand what God does. I know he works here. I know there's wonderful things here. But so often we read the stories about the great things that God does from a historical point of view. We forget that he didn't change. He didn't change. And the world really hasn't changed. It's as sick today as it was back then. And our God still does wonderful things. And we're watching it. I'll tell you a little bit about it, but I'd like to read Acts chapter 11. This is about the first church, the first Gentile church of Antioch, and some of the things that caused it to happen. And so in Acts chapter 11, starting verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the land, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. 5 years ago, on December the 3rd, Pat and I went to Sault Ste. Marie. It started because Brother Paul McDonald and I had sat and talked about what was going on at Sault Ste. Marie, not in a judgmental fashion, but concerned that that city with 72,000 people was in need of a strong Bible preaching church. That's what I was told. Our daughter and our son-in-law moved there with their family, and they began to look at the different ministries that were in the area, and they just really didn't feel like they fit in to anything that was there. And so Carrie and John would talk to me, and I would say, Lord, somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to go. It's got to get done. How do I tell my wife that I feel like God's putting it on my heart? We have a new home. We have a great church. We've got all this stuff. How do you pull up roots and go? Well, God brought something to pass. And it really is irrelevant. But God brought something to pass that made me very aware that I needed to go. I needed to go. When I resigned Berean Baptist Church and we went to Sault Ste. Marie, I got to tell you, I had a plan formulated. I had thousands and thousands of dollars in the bank. We had already surveyed the field, and there was, you know, hundreds of people that were interested in us coming. And we had it all figured out. None of that is true. I had no idea what I was going to do. I had no idea how it was going to start. I had no idea who we were going to have. I had no idea where we were going to meet. And I had no idea the impact that we were going to have. And top it all off, putting it all together, we didn't even have a home to move to. But we took a step of faith, and God began to put together things. I remember my son-in-law saying, you can always live with us. No, we can't. But we're going to trust God. Do you know the day we were on our way to Sioux, we had our truck full of, I don't know if my wife told you this story, but we had our truck full of our furniture. We had bought a house, but we were still 2 weeks away from closing. And so we called the builder and said to him, look, is there any way we can put our furniture in the garage? The monies are all in place. The lawyers had the monies, but the monies hadn't traded hands yet. And the builder said, why would you put it into the garage? Move into the house. I said, but we haven't paid anything yet. He said, are you going to pay? No. Yes. Yes. Move into the house. And that started what God was doing. I want to show it to you tonight. Let's bow forward to prayer. Our Father, would you please walk with us? I love so much what Brother Marwelli said. He said, preacher, God is blessing you so much that you're going to have to battle with pride. And God, I don't want to battle with pride. I don't want to take any glory, but I want tonight to encourage, because we serve a great God, and he's still doing great things. And Father, I pray that when this is all done, people will just simply say, isn't God good? Because you are. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We have in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 20, the first New Testament Gentile church of Antioch. The Bible says, now they, which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose upon Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. I want you to see with me, first of all, the motivation for a church plant. The motivation for a church plant. The Bible says that there was a persecution. There was a problem that was taking place in Jerusalem. They had stoned Stephen, and the disciples fled. They began to move all across that Middle East, and they were moving from different place to different place, a group of them had come to Antioch. You know, we have this idea that problems and trouble are always caused by the devil. Don't give him that much credit. We need to understand that God many times stirs up our barley fields, burns our barley fields. He stirs up our fallow ground. And what he is doing is saying, I am getting you ready to do something new in your life. Now, I know I promised Brother Tricky that I wouldn't move up here, but I'm going to move just a little bit, all right? Just move a little bit. I want you to go in your mind's eye back to the book of Ruth. All right? Remember Ruth and her sons and her husband went to Moab? And when they got to Moab, they were there for about 10 years. The husband dies. The two boys get married to Moabites. And then the husbands die. And Naomi says, I'm going to go back to Bethlehem because she'd heard that God had blessed the folks in Bethlehem and she wanted to go back because that's where she was from. And here's what she did. She said to Orpah and Naomi, she said, or to Ruth, she said, I want you to go back to where you're from. You know what she did? She did what you and I do. And here's what we do. We run into major problems. We run into major battles. We run into major struggles. Our life falls apart. And here's what we do. The best is behind us. And now we're just going to try to get through the rest of our lives. Do you know that for the Christian, the best is never behind us. It's always in front of us. It's always in front of us. And if we would just realize that, when we come to a dead end in life and God shuts a door or something goes wrong, it is not a situation where God is saying, I'm writing you off. What it is God saying, I need your attention. There's something new I want to do in your life. Do you know that if you were to go today and go into the presence of God and talk to Ruth and talk to Naomi and say to them, hey, let me ask you a question. Was your life better before you moved back to Bethlehem or better after you moved back to Bethlehem? I've got news for you. The best part of our lives are always in front of us, not behind us. Not behind us. God uses our past to prepare us in the present for the potential that he has for our lives in our tomorrows. And we need to understand that. And so there was this church at Jerusalem. Everything was going great. God pulls the rug out from underneath of it. Stephen is martyred. There is a massive persecution. And Christians are scattered everywhere. And they come to Antioch. You know what Antioch was? Antioch was a religious place. It was a religious place. But I love this. Please listen. It was a harbor on the river Orontes, in Asia. It was a harbor. And the Christians that came there with light. Can you see it? They came there with light. And instead of a harbor of darkness, Antioch becomes a harbor of light. It's a place where God is going to do a work, and he is going to present his gospel and the power of the gospel to the people of that community. And from there, it's going to go into the world. When we went to Sault Ste. Marie, we started a little Bible study in our living room. And people started to come. I think they really came for the food. My wife's an incredible cook. Put up with my teaching. They like the food. That's not true. My wife's an incredible cook. That part's true. But they came, and as the upstairs began to fill, we went downstairs. Got a piano. I sent a text off to Dr. Sexton. And they sent us 50 hymn books. We paid for them. We got a really good deal, but they sent us 50 hymn books. And we started a song service. And then COVID really hit. And we could no longer meet in our home. So I sent out a letter to four churches in the community and asked them if they would rent some time. Two churches responded. One's a beautiful, massive building. And the other one is where we are. It's a beautiful little building. It's a sweet building. Our folks just absolutely love it. But it's right on the main, one of the main streets in Sault Ste. Marie. It's on a hill. And when you look over the hill, you see the river. And that sign shines in the darkness. Harbor Light Baptist Church. Amazing what God does. You know, we started a meeting there and called it Harbor Light Baptist Church. We had an organizational meeting. I think there was 18, 19 people at that meeting, and we started with eight families. And God just brought it all together. But then something happened. The church that we were renting from closed. They shut down their ministry. It was a Nazarene church. And there and the congregation was 80, 85, 90, somewhere in there. And I had got to know them and I talked with them. And through all of that, I got to know the Canadian director for the Church of the Nazarene. And so I sent him off a letter. And I asked him if they would be interested in leasing to us the building and we would just take it over. And he said, yes. When have you ever been able to lease a building for $600 a month? That, you know, when we first took it, the ladies, I met with the board, they were all old ladies. God bless them. And I said to them, ladies, how much would you like for the rent for using the building? And they said, would $100 a month be too much? I said, I will not give you $100 a month. And they said, it's too much. And I said, no, we'll give you $200 a month. We'll take over looking after the building, looking after the grounds, doing all of this work for you. And they said, oh, that is awesome. But you know that tonight, there are three families from that old ministry that sit in the seats of Harbor Light Baptist Church. I watch them sing. I listen to them praise God. And one dear old soul said, you know, preacher, she said, I'm not speaking against the church that was here. She said, but I so prayed for you to come. I so prayed for you to come. God used persecution, problems, struggles, and trials to move those missionaries to Antioch. And God is still doing that today. If your life is turned upside down, listen, don't quit. Ask God to show you what it is that he's trying to tell you to do. It's amazing how God works. And so to this place where the believers had fled from persecution comes this light. And now the gospel is being preached. The Bible says they preached the word of God to the Jews only. And so we have this working of God, this moving of this organization, this starting of the church. And then the men from Cyprus came. And now you have the gospel going out to the Gentiles. Can you explain that? Can you explain how this kind of stuff works? You can't. You can't. I was not a church planter. I am now. But I was not a church planter. I have been a pastor for years and years and years and years. I was a rascal before that. I'm a rascal again. But between that time, I was a church or a pastor. But God moved me into church planting. And I read this. Let me just give it to you. It is strange how God does his work. Someone has said, if you can explain the birth of a church through organization and programs, then something is wrong. We have got so organized, we are so structured, we are so mindset in what we are trying to do that we organize the Spirit of God right out of it. And I've got to tell you this, you can't do what God has done in Sault Ste. Marie by yourself. It can't be done. But God could do it. Amen. And he's doing it. I don't have a lot of years left. I was teaching a Bible study, and I said, you realize that, you know, God says life expectancy is 70, and I stopped. You know how old 70 is? How old is it? 70 years old. You know how old I am? I'm 2 years past the limit. I'm working on borrowed time. But I'm sure enjoying it. I'm sure enjoying it. And what others have called impossible, God said, I'm looking for someone to do it. Take your Bibles and come with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Look with me in verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Not whose heart is perfect, that would count us all out. But on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him, herein thou hast done foolishly, thou therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. So what we have here is a warning, but let's back up and take the promise. The eyes of the Lord are looking for someone that he can work through, whose heart is perfect towards him. You know what the qualifications are for God to work through you? Lord, clean my heart. Keep it clean. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me love people, even though I'm an introvert. Help me reach the lost. And you know what he says? Nope. Nope. No, I don't like you. You failed here and you failed here. He doesn't do that. What he says is, let's do it together. Let's do it together. I want to show you what I believe are the reasons why God is blessing Harbor Light Baptist Church. I want to show you why I believe God's favor is coming down on that ministry. I know that favor is here. But I want you to see it where we are. I preached this message to our church. I said, let's never forget this. This is why we're being blessed. If we lose this, we lose the blessing. We lose the blessing. You might as well lose the church because it's not going to do anything. But now listen. Look with me at the mindset. In verse 19 and 20, what we have is a peculiar people faithful to the Lord. These people traveled even under persecution, even though their lives were threatened, even though the example of Stephen was fresh in their minds, a man who had lost his life because he proclaimed Christ. These people went on preaching the word of God. They preached not just an open message, but they preached the Lord Jesus Christ. They were preaching Christ. The mindset of these people, the mandate was to proclaim the word of God. If we were to stop today trying to entertain people, trying to influence people, and just do what God called us to do, God would influence the people. God would reach the people, and God would do the work. Not only is there a mindset and a mandate, but the message to preach the Lord Jesus Christ is the gospel message. It's about who he is, not what he can do for you in the future. He's done everything he needs to do for you when he died on the cross to save you and I from our sin. Everything else, all of the rest of it, is just blessing. He owes us nothing. But when he saves us, he offers us everything. He says, I've come that you might have life abundantly. Abundantly. I say to my wife, does it never scare you? Just how much God has blessed us. I mean, just look. Now, we've come through trials. There were times we were on our face before God. We didn't know what to do. There were times where the mountain of need was so high that we just didn't know how we were going to climb that mountain. And we went to God and just said, Lord, this is your work. If this doesn't happen, this is done. And God always came through. Always came through. And we were thrilled at what God has done. But the message is the gospel, the motivation. Here it is. If you've got this, I don't care how much money you have or don't have. I don't care what your education is. It really doesn't matter to me what your degrees are. If you have this, you have it. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And the hand of the Lord was with them. Remember what I said this morning? We define our faith. We defend our faith. You can't defend what you can't define. You need to know how to define your faith. But we define our faith. We defend our faith. Then we dispute about the faith. But what the world needs to see is that faith displayed. You know how that faith is displayed? Not by trying harder. That faith is displayed when the hand of God comes down on you. When the hand of God comes down on you. Let's go back to Naomi. Where have you been, Ruth? Oh, I was in somebody's field gleaning, and I was there, you know, I was picking up corn and grain, and you wouldn't believe it. This guy came along and He said to me, he said, you know, if you're hungry, go and have something to eat. If you're thirsty, go get something to drink. But he said to me, don't go to anybody else's field. Stay in my field. And I said to him, why are you so kind? Why are you doing this for me? And he said, because you've shown loyalty to your mother-in-law. That's a big thing, by the way. I mean, that's a really big thing. But you've shown to your mother-in-law, and you've put your life under the wings of the God that she serves. Now, what did Naomi say? Wow. You must have been carrying a real big rabbit's foot that day. I could never figure out why a rabbit's foot is lucky. It wasn't lucky for the rabbit. You know, like, come on, people. And yet, here we have this incredible moving of God, and he does this, and Ruth's life takes a turn for the better, and God blesses her abundantly. What's happening is God's hand is on her. Do you know that same hand is looking to go on you and I? It's looking to go on you and I. I say to our folks at Harbor Light Baptist Church, listen to me, folks. Listen, with God, without God, this doesn't happen. We can't do this without God. Again, I'm not boasting. I just, you know, most churches struggle for money, right? I mean, every church struggles for money. And that's why we are supposed to tithe, okay? Pastor Tricky said that I was supposed to say that to you. That's not true. I'm just trying to keep you awake. But I said to our church, okay, we're organized. We need to set up a budget. Right off the get-go, 10% has to go to missions. Bam, right off the top. We're going to set this up. And so we set it all up. We called a business meeting. We set it all up. And I had the lady who was our treasurer figure out what our average was for the month coming in. And I said, all right, this is the figure, but we need to go by faith. So let's boost it a little bit. And we'll set the budget at X amount of dollars. 10% going to missions. I didn't know that, but they decided they were going to put me on salary. I'm grateful for it. And so they decided they were going to put me on salary if 10% was going to missions and 20% was going to the pastor. Sounds good to me. And so we set that all, they set that all up. We've gone now for about 6 months, almost a year. And here's what my treasurer says. Pastor, we got to change this budget. Why do we have to change the budget? She said, because we're not meeting it. So what do you mean we're not meeting the budget? She said, preacher, we're blowing it away. She said, our offerings way surpass what we're putting out. And we need to start putting out. Now, how does that happen? In a day of COVID, people losing their businesses. How does that happen? I'm just an incredible preacher. I mean, I've just got it, you know? And the people just flock to listen to me. No. It's the hand of God. It's the hand of God. So the mindset, faithful to the Lord, the mandate to proclaim the word of God, the message to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, the motivation, because the hand of God was on. Do you know this? That you will go farther delighting in the Lord than you will ever go in duty. I get so tired when I hear preachers say, it's your duty to tithe. It's your, imagine how that makes Jesus feel. It's your duty to tithe. It's your duty to be in church. It's your duty to support your pastor. Well, that's true. But if that's all you have, something's very wrong with your Christianity. And when we have that desire in our heart, when we have the desire for God to work and God to use us and for lives to be changed and things to happen, then the next thing begins to happen. Look with me in verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and great numbers believed and turned to the Lord. What we have here is the miracles. The miracles. I always get upset. You know, when I read history and about the big crowds getting saved and the people getting saved and the churches on fire for God and changing the communities and stuff like that, and people say, well, but that was then and times have changed. Do you know that that's not true? Nothing's changed but the church. The church stopped believing. It stopped believing. You can't build. I sat in somebody's office. I won't say where, when, how. I sat in someone's office and they said to me, you're not going to build a church in Sault Ste. Marie. It can't be done. Hundreds have tried it. And it, well, not hundreds, but many have tried it. And it can't be done. I get so sick of that. I get so sick of that defeated mentality that Christians have. There's no point in me praying for them. They're never going to get saved. There's no point in me witnessing to them. They're not going to believe. There's no point in us giving more to missions because, you know, we're in the end times and the rapture is probably going to take place tomorrow and it's not going to matter anyway. None of that is true. We don't know it's true. But you know what we do know? That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the God that did the miracles back then is still doing miracles today. And if he tarries, he'll be doing miracles tomorrow. And people need to get saved. And God needs men that will stand up and say, listen, I believe this book with all my heart. I'm not going to defend God. I'm going to display God. I'm going to show what God is willing to do and let God work through me despite who I am, trying as best as I can, but I believe that God can move. And look with me in verse 23. Barnabas comes to Antioch, and this is what he said. It says, and when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You know what that is? Let me paraphrase that. I can't believe what God's doing here. Just keep it up. Just keep it up. Don't stop. Don't change anything. Just keep it up. Cleave to the Lord. Amen. Just hang on. Just keep doing it. When we went to Sault Ste. Marie, I'd had the privilege of preaching and pastoring some really great ministries. Friendship Baptist Church, Pickle Lake. Took it through a building program. Watch what God could do. Again, not boasting. Took Berean Baptist Church. Did a building program. Outgrew the building. Went to a new building. And we're ready to do another building program when I left. And so they've got it done now. But every one of those ministries, I always came in at the tail end and watched what God had done through someone else. I had never really seen God build it from the foundation up until now. And I want you to understand something. We serve a God that is more interested in showing you his power and the potential of serving him than you and I are interested in it. I think God looks at us and says, why are your expectations so low? Why can't you believe? You say, we do believe. Then work. And show it. And so the Bible tells us that as Barnabas comes and he sees the grace of God and he encourages them to cleave to the Lord, listen to what the Bible says in verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Now here's what I want you to see. When it started, God added people to the Lord. But as it continued, God added people to the Lord. Do you know the fervor, the excitement, and the zeal that we have when we start a ministry? God wants that fervor, zeal, and excitement to continue all the way through. I was telling preacher, I said to our deacons, guys, I want you to set up a ladies' fellowship for Mother's Day. I want to know what you're doing, but I'm not getting involved. I said, but I want it done right. It's got to be done right. All right. My wife said to me, did you tell him to do this? No. Did you tell him to do this? No. Did you tell him that we need this? No. What did you tell him? I said to them, set up the fellowship. I want a luncheon after the morning service. And I want it done right. They asked me a question. They said, preacher, who's paying for this? I said, the church will pay for it. Okay. Any other instructions? I said, yeah. Go big or go home. That was a mistake. That was such a mistake. We came in the other night, Saturday. I always check the building on Saturday for Sunday. Come in, and there's balloons all down the base. Like we have beautiful fellowship hall, and the balloons down the thing. Tables are all set up. Tablecloths are all set up on it, and they had it decorated with streamers and like. I just stood there and went, wow. And then the food started showing up. The first tray came in. The second tray came in. The third tray came in. My wife said to me, this is nothing. Look in the fridge. I opened the fridge. It's full of trays. We had sandwiches. We had desserts. We had fruit. We had sliced rolled meats. It was all there. So I'm standing in the pulpit, and I said to the congregation, I said, right after morning service, we're going to go downstairs. There's going to be a luncheon. All you ladies are going to go first. Our senior ladies will go first, and our younger ladies will follow, and then the rest of us can follow. And just as I'm giving the announcements, one of the deacons gets up, goes back to the back door, opens the door. In comes Brother Jamie, an incredible worker, and he's got a big tray in his hand. Do you know how many trays we have? And they're full of food. And he hands it to Brother Jay, and Jay turns around and he looks at me, and I'm standing at the pulpit and I'm looking at him. And you know what he said? Go big or go home, preacher. Go big or go home. We had so much food, but we had so much fun. And we had so much fellowship. And we were able to be such a blessing to so many families. And you know why? Because the hand of the Lord is there. The hand of the Lord is there. Now, you know men, I know men, I am a man. And most of the time, men will make a mess and leave it for the women, right? No? Not here? Man, you guys are in revival. It's awesome. And you know what happened? Our guys swept in. They let the ladies divide the food to where it was going to go. But they cleaned up, put everything away, had it all set up. Where does that come from? I'm just a very great administrator. No. No. The hand of God. People, let's get our expectations out of the gutter. Let's stop feeling sorry for ourselves. I'm not trying to be rude. But let's stop excusing our laziness. Let's stop putting God on defense. And let's start letting the world show, or let's start showing the world that the God that we serve is worth serving. And when we show that, his hand moves and miracles are done. I close with this concept. I got a call. I didn't tell our church. Actually, I had two calls. I had a church in Southern Ontario call me and ask me if I would consider coming and being their pastor. No, thank you. But I had another church call, and I went and sat with the church, and they said, would you be interested in taking this church? And I said, no, thank you. You see, What God has done at Harbor Light Baptist Church is the greatest thrill of my life. And I got to tell you, if it's the last thing I do, God has allowed me to go out with a song of my heart, a bounce in my step, and a love for a group of people unlike anything I've ever met before. Our church family loves us just like this church family loves you here. I've just never seen that kind of love. We've got some great families. We've served some great churches. But I'm talking about people that show up at your door just to make sure you're okay. People that will call you. This morning I left, my phone is full of texts. Praying for you this morning, preacher. Praying for you this morning, preacher. How was your morning service? Praying for you. Pray that everything's well. How's Missy? Listen, let's get that fire back. And let's let God be God and do what God wants to do. And all God's people said, amen. If you've learned something tonight, say amen.